For the last few weeks in our services, we have been focusing on Mary, the mother of Jesus, in a message series titled Merry Christmas, not M-E-R-R-Y, but M-A-R-Y. So far, we have looked at Mary's faith to believe the Lord when the promise was given to her through the angel Gabriel that she would bear the Son of God. And then we looked at Mary's fervor for the Lord that was expressed in Luke chapter 1, where we find there recorded Mary's song. And on this Christmas Eve, again, we are going to look at Mary, and tonight our focus is going to be on Mary's forgiveness. You see, just like you and me, Mary was a sinner, and she needed a Savior. Like last Sunday, again, this evening I am going to read for you Mary's song. This song that we find in Luke chapter 1 was shared in the house of her close relative Elizabeth, when Elizabeth as well was with child. And Mary spent 3 months at Elizabeth's house, and if you do the math, you will discover that Mary was likely at the home of Elizabeth when John the Baptist was born, who was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read for you Mary's song. It's recorded in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation, for He has performed mighty deeds with His arm, and He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but He has sent the rich away empty. For He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as He promised our ancestors." I would like for us to consider the first two verses that I read for you, verses 46 and 47, the opening lines here of Mary's song that says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Note that Mary did not say that my spirit rejoices in God, your Savior, or even my soul rejoices in God, the Savior of the world, but Mary, as blessed as she was, as highly favored as she was, said this, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. In Luke chapter 2, an angel appeared to the shepherds announcing in verse 11, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Think of it, while Jesus was still in the womb of Mary, Mary declared that He was her Savior. "My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." In view of the rather exaggerated place that has been given to Mary in some religious traditions, even declaring her to be a co-redeemer along with her son Jesus, it's noteworthy that here she appears only as a grateful recipient of God's saving work. Yes, as verse 48 states, "We should call her blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name." I want you to know that the greatest thing that God ever did for Mary was not impregnate her by the Holy Spirit. And that was indeed an awesome miracle, one that we can hardly really fathom or fully understand. And when the angel Gabriel told Mary what was going to happen to her, oftentimes we don't realize that almost utter chaos would have been released into Mary's life. Not just at that moment, but in the days and the weeks and the months that were to come. It's hard to imagine everything that went through her mind, but I want you to know that that was not the greatest miracle that took place in Mary's life. The greatest thing God ever did for Mary is the same thing He wants to do for you and He wants to do for me, and that is He desires to save us. He is the Savior. You see, Mary needed a Savior. Mary bore a Savior, and ultimately that Savior bore Mary's sins and your sins and my sins and the sins of the world on Calvary's cross. You know, the last time that Mary appears in the biblical text is in Acts chapter 1. In between the angelic visit and everything that we read in the first two chapters of Luke's gospel, we see Mary just from time to time. At times, Mary is somewhat confused by what she hears and what she sees. She does. It's clear there's times that she does not fully grasp the magnitude of the mission of her son, Jesus Christ. But in Acts chapter 1 is the last time that Mary appears in the biblical record, just prior to the day of Pentecost, just prior to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, just before the birth of the church in Acts chapter 2. Verse 14 of Acts chapter 1 says this. It says, they all joined together constantly in prayer. Jesus has given the Great Commission. Jesus has ascended back to the Father, and He has told them to wait. And there was about 120 that were waiting. They joined together constantly in prayer. Along with them, it says, there were women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and His brothers, and Jesus' brothers. Here we find the one who bore Christ, who gave birth to the Son of God and the Son of Man, the one who took care of Jesus and provided for His needs as His mother, ready at this point to serve Him as her Savior and her Lord. She joined together with others, believers, praying for what her Son had promised. In Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, we find here what was promised. It says, on one occasion while Jesus was eating with them, He gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift the Father promised, which you have heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The first recorded prayer meeting after our Lord's ascension, we see that Mary is present. And I want you to know that she was not there as a recipient of prayer, but rather she was there as a participant in the praying that took place. So many non-biblical traditions and teachings have developed around Mary, including her perpetual virginity. Yet the Bible says Jesus had other siblings. Also His intercession on behalf of the saints. Yet the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, for there is one mediator, did you hear that? One mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And the Bible is silent about an immaculate conception of Mary or of her assumption. Yet I want you to know that there is every reason to rise and call this woman blessed. There is every reason to honor Mary. You see, she is an example of submission. She's an example for us of submission. She said in chapter 1, verse 38, I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled in me. And that's when the angel Gabriel came to her with the shocking news that she was going to be with child of the Holy Spirit and all that was going to take place with the birth of her son. She recognized, I am the Lord's servant. Whatever you say, even though it doesn't make sense, even though I cannot connect the dots, may it be to me as you have said. She's also an example of humility. In her song in verse 48 and verse 52, it speaks of her humble state. That's one thing God will always honor, not only in Mary, but also in you and me if we are humble before the Lord. Mary is also an example of thankfulness. Her song is absolutely overflowing with praise to God. I want you to know that the best way to honor Mary is not to pray to her, but to model your relationship with the Lord on the traits that she displayed. And like Mary, I need a Savior. You see, a Savior saves. A Savior is one who brings deliverance. A Savior is one who sets the captives free. He saves us from something. And all of us need to be saved from something. We need to be saved from sin that separates us from God. But you know, we also need to be saved from something else. We need to be saved from ourselves. We need to be saved from just self. But He not only saves us from something, He saves us for something. When He saves us, it's not about just being separated from something, it's for something. God has a purpose, and God has a plan for our lives that we will never know, we will never understand until we enter into a personal relationship with Him. Finally, He saves us by something. He saves us from something and for something, but He saves us by something. Paul describes it this way. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. This not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Grace is what God gives us freely when we need it, even though we could never deserve it, and even though we could never pay Him back for it. Aren't you thankful on this Christmas Eve for God's amazing grace? You know, you can only have a Merry Christmas when, like Mary, you receive forgiveness and grace through her Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank You tonight for this wonderful Christmas Eve, Lord, that we are able to come together. Lord, we give You thanks for the freedom that we enjoy and that is available to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank You for the freedom that we have in this nation. Lord, there are so many people on this Christmas Eve around the world who do not have, cannot gather freely for worship. And Lord, they fear for their very lives. In many places, it's illegal to assemble together. Lord, we thank You for the freedom that we enjoy in this country. Lord, we're so grateful for the example of Mary. Mary, chosen of the Lord. And there are times that traditions have made her much more than what she was. But if we just go look at what Your Word says, there is so much reason there to honor Mary, to emulate the example that she has set for us. Lord, I would pray for every person in this service on this Christmas Eve, Lord, that they will know the reality of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, that they would not leave this service this evening without knowing Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and as their personal Savior. Before we continue with this service, I just want to give you the opportunity, if you're here this evening and never established a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, while hearts and heads are bowed before the Lord, I'm not going to call your name. This is not an invitation to become a member of this church. I'm not going to approach you after the service this evening, but I just want to pray for you. If you're here tonight and on this Christmas Eve you would like to take the step to begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He came as the Savior. He came to set us free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He came to forgive us. He came to give us assurance of eternal life. It would be indeed sad if you're here tonight and you have never received Christ in a personal way to walk out of this place, not just into the darkness of night, but to walk out of this place with spiritual darkness in your heart and in your life.